are listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
today,
the Bard.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
So what is stewardship? It is the management of another's property, another person's property, another person's finance, or another person's household affairs. Notice, it is the management of another person's, the management of another person's property, another person's finances, and another person's affairs.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The Ownership Principle. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 15 through 18.
The question is, who is the owner? Let me help you. God is the owner. He owns everything. He owns every blade of grass. He owns my lot. He owns my sprinkler system. He owns every grain of soil under my feet. He owns every block put in this church. He owns my bed in my house. He owns all of the food in my pantry. He owns the wine cellar. He owns my vehicle. He owns my family. He owns the breath that I breathe. He owns my children. He owns the office of pastor. He gave me the office. He owns every instrument in this church. He owns every Q-tip. He owns my financial portfolio. He owns everything that I use. I'm coming somewhere with it. He owns my abilities. He owns even the areas of my life that I call strengths. Every accommodation, every reward he owns. You know why? Because if he took breath, his breath from me, I would just be laying as a corpse. It doesn't matter how much potential I have. If he say, I don't want you to breathe next week, and he took his breath from me, there's nothing that I can do with all my potential. And they say the human body, after breath is gone, is worth less than $5. I want you to hear what I said. The human body, all of your fineness, all of our strength is worth less than $5 after he takes the breath that he owns. He owns everything in America. He owns every building, every Trump Tower. He owns every Hilton Hotel. He owns every satellite. He owns all airplanes. You can fix it. You can keep it done. You can make sure it's right. You can be flying and the door just flies off. You can do everything right and something still goes awry after you check every list. He owns it all. I want to make sure you understand that, and I want you to go down your list when you start saying my, or mine, mind. I want you to start thinking about what you really own. Who are the managers or the stewards of what he owns? The truth is that all of us, all followers of Jesus, all believers of Jesus Christ, are promised eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the reward for honoring the Lord with your faith and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that he was raised from the dead and he is Lord. You shall inherit eternal life here on earth and beyond. But there are four principles to stewardship that I would like to communicate over the next few weeks. They're wrapped up in this teaching. And the first one is ownership. Ownership. Say it with me, ownership. Ownership. I'm already breaking into it so you will understand that God owns it all. The second one is responsibility. Stewardship comes with responsibility. If I preach the gospel willingly, I have a reward. But if not, stewardship has been entrusted to me. I have a responsibility to preach, to do what he's called me to do, and you to do what God has called you to do. The third one is accountability. Accountability in stewardship. And the fourth dimension of the teaching will be a reward. When you do what you're supposed to do in terms of understanding ownership, understanding responsibility, understanding accountability, you can then look at the reward. And there is a reward to them that diligently steward. Yes, sir. If you seek first the kingdom, he will add all of these things to you. But there are things that you can't purchase that he adds. Glory to God. God will make your utensils last longer. Right before the warranty go out, he'll let you come slip right through. Glory to God. Some people, they don't get a notice. The stuff don't stop working until the warranty is done. But God has a way of saying to you, no charge. Glory to God. He lets things last longer. Glory to God. Glory to God. He'll let tires last longer. Brakes will last longer. You will last longer. You won't be tired all the time. He'll give you strength to overcome. He'll put somebody in your path to give you exactly what you need for the moment to pass through. Because he rewards them that diligently, I like that word, that diligently with discipline and consistently seek him. And so I want to bring your attention again to ownership. Let's talk about stewardship. What is stewardship? I would encourage you this year to be a note taker, because I'm teaching and it's going to help you. The longer you grow, take Evernote or something on your device and jot down some things. Because this is a teaching that will help you to manage your life. And if you're listening to me while on the internet or Facebook Live, YouTube, please have a pad when you're dealing with Bishop so you can write some things down and visit it tomorrow. Send yourself an email. Put it in an email format and then send it back to yourself. And then you can copy it in Google Docs. You can transfer it to Word and take it with you everywhere you go. Because we're going to need this message this year. Stewardship is a part of God's divine alignment. A whole segment of your life is out of alignment when you gain power and discipline in stewardship. He aligns it. And power comes with alignment. So what is stewardship? It is the management of another's property, another person's property, another person's finance, or another person's household affairs. Notice, it is the management of another person's property, another person's finances and another person's affairs. See yourself as not the owner. This is the problem with a lot of believers. I own. But if you really know what Bible, you need to say God owns. I'm a steward over what he gave me. That's why anytime God blesses us, that is Pastor Sabrina and I, with anything, we give it back. We do not take ownership. We give it back to God, because I understand that unless he was building the house, my labor is in vain. Do I have rights and privileges? Yes. I just read it to you out of 1 Corinthians 9. I do have rights and privileges as a pastor, as a father, as a husband, that I have legally. You can't claim wife status or husband status without those rights and privileges. But at the same time, I understand in my greater good that God owns it all. Glory to God. And it is my job as a spiritual man to give it back to God. So, stewardship is the management of another person's property, of another person's finance, or another person's household affairs. So if you went out of town and you left me keys to your house, and I was given stewardship privileges for that, it doesn't mean I own the house and I should have parties in your house. I should do in your house what you delegate me to do. I need to manage it well. If I was the manager of a Hilton, it is not my Hilton. My name is not on the door. I am to manage Hilton's affairs, to make sure what Hilton wants me to do is done even in his absence. Do y'all follow me? That means even if you don't see God, you should be able to manage his property, to manage his finances, and to manage his household affairs. In the church, it would be interpreted ministries. Write it down. Stewardship involves the management of money or money matters. It involves inflow and expenditures. It involves budgets and disciplines. Budgets and disciplines. It involves vision. That is an outlook, but also consistency and the discipline to maintain the vision. It involves focused appropriation. Focused appropriation. It involves the tithe. And a lot of people like to exchange the word tithe for a tithe of giving of one's service and ministry. I say I give God 10% of my time to church, but tithe is about money. Yes. It's not about what you do in service in terms of beating the drum or playing the keyboard or preaching. That is not the tithe. It is strictly finance. So if I took the term tithe out, just say 10% of your finance. Glory to God. And in this church, we don't teach that you're going to hell if you don't pay 10%. 10% is a measuring stick of what's righteous. You can give over 10%. For Jacob gave 20. God can bless you in a way where you don't hurt when you give 20. Oh my God, help me, Jesus. That's where I want to go, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Y'all still with it? Focused appropriation. Tithes. Here's another word in giving: offerings. There are many different types. Alms. That's when you give to the poor, you don't expect anything back. So if you give your money to people that's walking the street, or when you pull up to an intersection and they're saying, give me money, that's an alm. You're not, God's going to bless. No, he don't bless alms. You can give all of you. Give $100,000 to the person. He ain't going to bless you for that. That's an alm. You got to say, I'm giving that, I'm not expecting anything back. He blesses you when you give offerings and tithes. When you give to the poor, that's what you're supposed to do. It's called hands full of purpose. Leave something for them. But you don't expect anything back. You left something for them. But when you give an offering or tithe to God, you can expect something back. If you took your money or seed and threw it on concrete, you're not expecting anything back. You got to sow it in the soil. So if you took a satchel of seed and threw it all out on the concrete and you came back and said, I sowed it, Bishop, I'm going to say where? Well, I gave it to the highway. Then you don't expect anything back because you didn't understand the teaching. And if you get into hard ministries that ain't producing anything, don't expect anything back. But if it's in fertile soil, if it's in a Boaz field, if it's in something that God has cultivated, you can expect God to do the miraculous in your life. So I sow in the fertile soil. I sow it into God's way of doing things. And I can expect the harvest to come back. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Train your people with this truth. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I believe as you shift, you're going to see a harvest come to your life. I had someone come to me and say, man, I just gave $300 to someone at an intercession. And I didn't say anything, but inside of me, I was like, no! You don't even tithe. What did Jesus say about the poor? You will have the poor with you always. That's why we have a justice ministry to deal with the poor. You need systems to deal with the poor. Not individual gifts. Systems to deal with the poor. You will never change their mentality by just taking care of the poor and sowing your seed there. You got to have a system. You got to train them in a way that they should go and then teach the poor how to change the mentality, because it is really a mentality before it is an operation and function. You can take poor people that come from the South America and get into America and they become rich because it's a mentality. It's not just a condition. Change the mentality, things will shift. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all with me? Yes. I'm supposed to teach. Calm down, Merton. So we talked about offerings, tithes, alms. Here's another one, first fruits. And anytime God gives you an increase, you're supposed to give that measure of increase to God first. So if, for instance, if God bless you with an extra $1,000 a month on your job, I got a $12,000 raise. The first fruit would be the first thousand. I know you're like, oh my God, what are you talking about? Thousand? Yeah. It's even better and greater than the tithe. The tithe would be, if it's $12,000 a year, that would be $1,200, right? But the first fruit is the first of the increase. Yes. The first fruit of the increase. And you then, when you give the first fruit, you guarantee the harvest for a year.
Yes, sir. Come on.
It's all biblical. I'll show you. When you say, God, oh, man, God bless me. When you God, I'm going to break off the first fruit of my increase.
Yes.
And I'm going to sow it into you. When you do that, he guarantees that nothing you sow into in the future will die. And that expansion will come to you all year long. This is what he told Moses. Tell them to give me the first fruit. And when they do, I will guarantee their harvest. And he did it. Glory to God. I know that. Who? What are you talking about? What's going on? Well, you give it to the cruise ship and they can guarantee their harvest for a year. You give it to the things that you want to give to. All right, now I'm getting an influx of people that want me to sow into what they're doing. I don't even know them. I don't have a clue. They just say, I see you prosperous. Can you sow into this? Can you sow into that? It's the top of the year. Can you sow? Can you sow in my sorority? Can you sow into this? Can you sow into that? Can you sow into this? Can you sow into that? At least 15. It happens every year. Most parents would tell their kids when they're selling cookies, go to Bishop. So I don't get one or two, I get 27, 30. If that happened to you, what would you do? Do I tell the kids, oh no, I'm never sowing to you? You would say, that's a bad pastor. Ooh, my God, he hurt. I get 30 of them. I never turn them away. I don't care if it's a dollar. One of my young kids was a good reader. I said to her, if you read, I'm going to give you a $5 every book you read. She was young. She came to me when she got about 15 and said, I think that need to be upgraded to 20. I said, wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. You negotiating, huh? I made sure her mama always knew that. I don't exchange money to girls without their parents' awareness. It's the worst thing you could ever do. You never let your kids, your daughters, take money from men. Ever. You'll be setting them up for a bad fall. I'm talking to people who are holy in their thinking. And you need to get this instruction so you'll do the right things with money. I had a man to come to me and say, when you talk about tithe, I think you should let a guest speaker teach about it versus you. I said, would you want your children to be taught by the next door neighbor and how to clean their room? Or should you do it? I want you to think about what you're saying. Should you teach your household how to move things and how to flow, or the next door neighbor needs to come in, or someone from out of state? Or do you train up the child in the way they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart? It is my job to orient the house in the ways of God. Those that will hear will comply. Those that rebel won't. Those that want to get the blessing of the Lord will get it. They will choose. Those that don't will move in another way. That's up to God. He gives the results. Amen. Did a baby say amen? As far as believers are concerned, stewardship involves the responsibility, again, of managing God's work through the church. So, stewardship involves how you manage another person's property, how you manage another person's finances, or household affairs. As it relates to believers, stewardship involves the responsibility of managing the church, the work of the church, or the work that comes through the church. I believe God has appointed all of us to be his stewards on the earth. You may not have a major responsibility in the church or even be an accounting steward, but all of us have been called by God to be good stewards, his stewards, in the earth today. Write it down. Stewardship is not an option. You may not choose to sow, but stewardship is not an option. It is the breeding ground for success or failure. How you manage resources, property, finance, and household affairs. Another person's. And if you're faithful over another person's, you actually create vision and prosperity for yourself. Your first job is usually something outside of your house. When you're working in your home, you're not a slave. You actually should be doing chores, right? And you may get an allowance for doing chores. But your first job, usually now, for most people, unless you have a family business, is outside of the house. You work, and for that, you get a paycheck. and you need to learn stewardship.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, The Ownership Principle, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2402-0408. That's reference number 2402-0408.
The Career and College Prep Ministry, in partnership with Team Success STEM Academy, will facilitate preparation for Innovation Games, a STEM competition composed of coding challenges, drone racing, underwater robotics, and much more for students in 4th through 12th grades attending a Brevard County public, charter, or private school. This hands-on project will occur monthly beginning Saturday, February 10th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Career and College Prep will also provide the Scholastic Success Seminars ACT and SAT Math Preparation Study monthly from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. starting February 24th. Parents, head to the Truth Reveal website or the mobile app to register your children today. Email career.college@truthreveal.org for more information. If you are ready to inspire others to worship God and usher in the presence of God through movement, then the Sacred Dance Ministry is for you. Email sacreddance@truthreveal.org for more information. Ladies, remember to join Pastor Sabrina on Sundays at 10 a.m. in the sanctuary as we dive deeper into conquering spiritual battles with our new book study, The Bondage Breaker by Neil T. Anderson.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.